Don't make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with Salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll-free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Tell me what's ailing me. Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. I hope you had a great day, a great work week. Oh, it's almost over and the weekend's right around the corner. You can relax. Hopefully you get to relax and take some time off. Well, we have a great show. We're glad you're here on American Voice Radio and Herb Talk Live. We are going to be talking about some European influences as well as some influences from some American herbalists on the power of healing the vascular system, okay? So we're going to talk about how we can protect that. Also, we're going to be looking at topics on heartburn. We're going to look at that. And also maybe some, if we have time, secrets, early history secrets, especially including some of the early drugs that were being developed. So we got lots to talk about. And but coming up in the near future here on Herb Talk, this month is going by very quickly. Next Tuesday, we're going to be talking with Dr. Rebecca Carley. She is our wellness expert, and she'll be rejoining us here on Herb Talk. Hope you can join us. And if you want to click on her banner that's on the links area at thepowerherbs.com, you can find out a little bit about Dr. Carley. Also, on the 17th, a week from today, we are going to be talking with David Foreman. He is a retired pharmacist, but he wants to share some information on some natural antibiotics with us. So he's going to be joining us next week. Also, if you're up bright and early this Saturday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern Time, I'll be chatting with Dr. Carley on my show on GCN. And also on the 26th, Ty Bollinger is going to be with us, the author of Cancer Step Outside the Box on GCN, so you can give me time with him and learn all about his book. Or you can go to cancer.net or cancertruth.net is his website and find out more about Ty. So we got lots to do. I mean, this month is going to just go poof before we know it. And Mother's Day. Mother's Day is coming up, right? I hope you got your stuff ready for your mom. And if you don't, hey, we've got a Mother's Day special at thepowerherbs.com. You can go to the powerherbs.com website and cut and paste the discount coupon on the front homepage and put it in your shopping cart and save 15%. So it's Mom Day and the number 12 if you want to order by the phone. And happy Mother's Day to all from Apothecary Herbs. We do have a quack report, but before we get to all that great stuff, a big salute and Semper Fi to our military, praying for them. Always have them on our mind. Men and women sacrificing so much, putting everything on the line for our national defense. So we're praying for them. Also, all of America, we want righteous men and women in positions of power in this land, right? We want to be one nation under God again. I'm sure most of you out there wonder if that can be possible. Well, if it's God's will, it will be. So hit the knees, seek his face, mind the time, it grows short. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Well, I came across something kind of really disgusting in the quacker today. Custom officials in South Korea kind of horrified when they discovered recently there's an active underground drug trade that involves powdering up dead babies, putting them into supplements. Yeah. Numerous sources are confirming that thousands of capsules containing dead baby remains that were powdered in powdered form were confiscated by South Korean custom officials after travelers tried to smuggle these cure-all drugs in from China. Okay, so according to the reports, there is a corrupt medical personnel cell, whatever you want to call it, in China, selling aborted and stillborn baby corpses to medical companies who secretly store them in their home refrigerators. And then when it comes time for processing, these companies retrieve the dead bodies, dry them in microwave ovens, grind them into powder, and then put them in capsules. Ugh. I apologize if any of you out there are eating. Why are they doing this? Well, you know, they believe that human placenta tissue, for instance, is medicinal, and if you consume it, it will improve blood supply and circulation. So, you know, a lot of superstition there. So we're going to have to be praying for the people there. Whew. And what else do we have in the quack report? Well, here China's still in the news. They have some Chinese herbs that it seems to help prevent hair loss and stimulate some natural hair restoration without the need for all those drugs. They've been used for hundreds of years and are considered alternative therapies. That you can layer it with acupuncture or acupressure to prevent hair loss and to regrow hair. But, you know, hair loss has a lot of causes, like genetics. You can have that, you know, male pattern baldness. You can have glandular or hormonal issues. There could be lack of circulation to the scalp or even a vitamin deficiency that can play a major role in hair loss. Chemotherapy, of course, can be another cause for patients suffering from cancer. So the Chinese herbs are very beneficial for thinning hair, baldness areas. So the first step towards restoration is actually trying to stimulate and increase the blood and circulation to the scalp. And so a key to limiting the thinning of the hair is promoting better circulation. You can do that through, you know, massage, circulatory herbs, and things of that nature. But some of the Chinese herbs that you can probably look up are best natural hair restoration herbals are Fo Tai, known as He So Hu. Latin name is Polygonum Multiforum. So there's a bunch of this stuff online. You could go to the Health Ranger's website. I think he's got a big article on this. And all the Chinese herbs are listed there. Hopefully no baby parts, you know. And last but not least in the quack report tonight, garlic is in the news. They're saying it's more effective than antibiotics at treating food poisoning bacteria. Wow. I knew this. Of course I did. So if you feel ill because, you know, you ate something that you shouldn't have, you know, the potato salad sitting outside too long in the sun and you get food poisoning, garlic is going to help you fight off the pathogens that cause the bacteria, the food poisoning bacteria. So the effective compound that you'll find in garlic is dialyl sulfide. It has a lot of membranes that attack the bacteria and destroy it. Research on this is published in the Journal of Antimicrobial Chemotherapy. They're saying garlic's more effective. It takes just a fraction of the time to work than the erythromycin for food poisoning. Also, they base their tests on some common food poisoning bacteria, and more research was done in Africa, and the African Journal of Biotechnology says garlic was effective against staph bacteria and other common food poisoning pathogens. Also effective, they say, for stomach upsets, skin problems, and infertility. Pair it with ginger and you'll have healthy digestive system, and it prevents, your risk of heart disease, acne, and anti-aging. It has anti-aging benefits. So one of my favorite herbs, garlic. And that wraps the quack report.
That's all, folks.
Well, thank you, Mexico Engineer. I appreciate it. Well, it's the end of the work week, and I know you guys are winding it all down. So we're going to talk about your vascular system, you know, because you need to relax and you know, decompress, take the stress off. And, you know, the vascular system takes a lot of hits when it comes to stress. So the blood and vascular system, they have a very important job to do, as you can well imagine, because this is the super highway of life that we're talking about, you know. There are approximately 76,876 miles of interstate highways across the United States. And it takes a lot to maintain those roads, right? Hey, the human body has about 60,000 miles of blood vessels. And you had better have some healthy endothelial cells to help maintain your vascular system. Now, nearly all tissue depends on some healthy blood supply. And it depends on these endothelial cells to keep the blood highway in operation. So there is a lot that you can do to help preserve your bloodstream and also sidestep a lot of disease, a lot of illness that can make it sick. Let's talk about these endothelial cells, because these things are amazing. The endothelial cells tend to line your entire vascular system from head to foot. They are even in the smallest of capillaries. So the passage of blood material is highly dependent on these cells. These cells form the linings of the blood vessels, and they have the capability or the capacity to adjust and even rearrange to make sure that the blood highway stays open. So, you know, God's given them some wiggle room to make sure that things are free-flowing and on open. You know, blood is circulating. Now, the endothelial cells have this specific adaptive life support system. In other words, they tend to think on their feet, so to speak. So they're able to extend whatever means necessary to ensure there is tissue growth and repair of all the blood vessels. So they even monitor the transport of white blood cells in and out of your blood system. So when you're under stress, for instance, your endothelial cells are among the first to know due to their mechanic receptors that tend to sense stress, which is manifesting and how the blood is flowing over the surface of the vascular system, and it sends signals to all the surrounding cells. So your endothelial cells respond to the stress by dilating the diameter of the vascular highway, you know, make room, make way, here it comes, you know. And also, they adapt the wall thickness to assist with more blood flow when you're under stress. So these cells also receive communication from your brain, the neural signals, and they help make the smooth muscles relax the vessel walls, okay? So when you're under stress, they're more elasticity, they're more flexible, they're dilated, more blood flow. So without their help, it's kind of like hitting a toll booth every few miles, slowing down blood flow and nutrition throughout the body. And the last thing you want is to damage this very important system. Well, let's talk about a sick vascular system for just a skinny minute. What could it mean to have a sick vascular system? Well, if your system becomes sick, it hinders your cell growth, your cell repair, and your circulation. So a sick vascular system will hinder blood function. Now, the blood is a transportation specialist. It must transport blood gases like your oxygen and carbon dioxide, transport your waste products from the metabolism, transport your hormones and your enzymes and nutrients like glucose, amino acids, vitamins, minerals, fatty acids, and glycol. It must transport your plasma proteins, which is, they're very important for defense, you know, for blood clotting and antibodies. And it has to transport your blood cells, your white leukocytes and your red erythrocytes. So all this will also help you to maintain a normal body temperature. So the blood's real important. The other jobs involved are controlling your pH, which is, you know, your blood has to maintain a pH within 6.8 to 7.4, or your cells tend to get damaged. And the blood also has to remove toxins from the body through the liver and your kidneys. Now, the kidneys will dispatch about 8 to 9 cups or 2 liters of urine every day. And the regulation of the body fluids, the electrolytes, is also involved. So without this functioning normally, you can expect to have a myriad of health problems, which include bleeding, thrombosis, arterial stenosis, arterial sclerosis, and even aneurysms. Okay, so the vascular system, the blood system, kind of important. Well, what did they do way back when, you know, when they had issues like this go awry? Well, during the 1800s, you know, the Lloyd brothers, we've talked about them previously, they made a wicked blood tonic. Now, the European formulas for blood were liquids, and so was the Hoxie tonic. They were all liquids. Now, the dried powdered herb capsules really don't deliver enough strength, and they're not in the bloodstream fast enough. So when it comes to blood, you will want to protect it from an environment that cultivates cell damage and cancer. And any blood tonic worth its salt will have herbs that help prevent that, such as herbs like chaparral, bloodroot, poke root, red clover, for instance. And you won't get the stamp of approval from the FDA on these herbs. They tell people there is no scientific evidence or inconclusive evidence that any of these herbs work, or worse, that they'll hurt you. Now, I personally wouldn't ask anyone who has a snake on a stick for preventative medical advice. And what about the empirical history? That has merit, you know. For hundreds of years, these types of herbs have been used and helped people suffering from some very destructive diseases. An example is the chaparral herb, which has been used by the Indians for over 400 years to get the job done. Now, the Indians were not concerned if certain chemical properties were included in the herbs. They just knew they worked, and they focused on the big picture, you know, getting better. Now, modern medicine doesn't test anything anymore, really. They fast-track drugs through the FDA. So when the ancients used herbs for 400, 600, 1,000 years, hey, you know it had some authentic field testing, and it passed the test. And prevention is a whole lot easier than disease management, isn't it? You know, how you protect your vascular system is important. Your lifestyle should be clean and healthy. So you're going to have to spend the extra money on the certified organic foods, or you're going to risk some cell mutation with the conventional foods. And you're going to want to keep the blood clean so it will not damage the cells and weaken the system. So any herb that thins the blood and improves circulation is definitely going to help the body fight off serious illness like cancer. And by the way, chaparral herb will make tumors a leap out of the body. That's what the Indians used it for. So I use such herbs, even in the absence of cancer, as a preventative. I'm not waiting for cancer to crop up. Well, let's talk about herbs for life, because you want to forget the drugs for life. Drug dependency offers no liberty from disease. It doesn't. Herbs, however, can offer life and life more abundantly. Now, there's this quote from Ecclesiastes chapter 8. It says, "Where the word of the king is, there is power." Oh, I believe it, because God also said, "I have given you every green herb for meat." And that's in Genesis chapter 1. And he also said, "Herb is here for the service of man," in Psalms 104. So God has spoken it and is evidence of fact. It's already done. So herbs that cleanse and improve circulation, organ function, and strengthen overall are going to put you in a much better position to prevent most illnesses. And if you want the knowledge of European herb secrets, plus the decades of Dr. John Christopher's experience and the power of the Hoxie formula, well, then you want to call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. And you want to ask for their organ cleanse packages, which includes the blood cleanse tincture, their heart cholesterol blood pressure tincture, and of course they have the Celtic sea salt to help balance body fluids, pH, and even strengthen cell walls. That's what a real salt will do. Doesn't give you hypertension. It does those things instead. So call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They have a toll-free number. It's 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, and ask for a free product catalog. Or you can visit their website, www.thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. If you're outside the U.S., call 704-885-0277, 704-885-0277, or visit thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. And as I said, in honor of Mother's Day, you know, Mother's Day is just around the corner. You can save 15% on your herbal products simply by picking up the phone and mentioning the discount for Mother's Day, Mom Day, and the number 12. The discount code is on the homepage at thepowerherbs.com. You can cut and paste that into the shopping cart, and you can save quite a bit of money on your healthy products today and sidestep a lot of problems, including vascular issues. Also, take note of their new formulas with the dandelion root for more extra protection against diseases like cancer, liver detox tea, and, of course, their new liver and gallbladder tincture, so you can check those out online or give them a call and get their free product catalog and, you know, be prepared for whatever. And if you are preparing for whatever, they do have a natural medicine starter stock-up package, so check that out. Anti-inflammatories that are natural and organic, shelf life of over 10 years. These are your backup medicines. So you'll have immune-boosting formulas to help you, you know, protect yourself from viruses and bacteria and pathogens. Hey, the kit even has a pandemic kit thrown into it, so the package is kind of inclusive. Get you started, and long shelf life on the liquids, unlike tablets or capsules. So check that out when you can, thepowerherbs.com. Okay, we are going to shift gears, and we're going to be talking about heartburn. Heartburn, very important. A lot of people suffer from it, so it's important to them. Because nearly everyone has a little heartburn episode, you know, every once in a while, mostly from overeating or overindulging. But over 10% of the population, there's like 15 million Americans that have regular heartburn. More than 60 million Americans experience heartburn every month. And, you know, other names for heartburn, you know, people call it indigestion, sour stomach, regurgitation, or acid reflux. But no matter what name you give it, it's that fiery, painful sensation in the chest. It's enough to ruin your day and also prevent a good night's sleep. So what can be done to help resolve heartburn in one out of every 18 people? Well, let's find out. So what exactly is heartburn? Well, it's that discomfort you feel, like a heartburn, a burning sensation. It's the stomach contents, the digestive juices or acids, the hydrochloric acid and the pepsin enzyme that tend to splash up into lower part of the esophagus, causing the acid burn and pressure in the chest area. So the lining of the esophagus is not designed, like the stomach, to tolerate these harsh digestive acids. So it is not uncommon for the sensation to be severe enough to make you think that you're having a heart attack. So when you swallow food and the esophageal sphincter, this small little muscle ring separating the esophagus and the stomach, it's supposed to close, preventing food from going back up into the esophagus. If this muscle becomes weak or it gets stretched out due to overeating, it will not close as well, keeping food and digestive juices in the stomach where they're supposed to be. So if you have a weak esophageal sphincter, it can actually spring open like a jack-in-the-box at the wrong time, allowing all these undigested food particles and stomach acids to kind of slosh up into the esophagus and giving you this awful burning pain, spasms, bitter taste in the mouth, and so on. So the symptoms, well, heartburn symptoms, kind of broad scope. They range from mild to severe. Acid can flow up from the stomach and cause problems for the esophagus and even the mouth. The typical sensation is pretty much indigestion, heartburn, a little gastric pain or burning sensation from stomach to the mouth area. So the acid taste in the mouth is not uncommon, along with moderate to severe belching. And in severe cases, individuals with this type of digestive distress can experience nausea, vomiting, have difficulty swallowing, and often have a hiatal hernia. Long-term exposure to this digestive malfunction can cause acid erosion to the esophagus, and the esophageal sphincter, causing also ulcers and bleeding. Scar tissue of the esophagus is also a risk and can narrow the esophagus and hinder the passage of food to the stomach. So over time, the condition really can deteriorate and lead you to some really bad stuff like cancers, esophageal cancer. So you want to be careful there. Well, I see by the time of the clock we got to take a little break, but on the other side, we're going to talk about some of the contributing factors to this, some eating habits to avoid, and some natural things you can do for it. We'll be right back.
Goes up, a car goes by. It's nearly 1 a.m. and here am I. Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Do you remember a time without antibiotics, superbugs, vaccines, and drug dependency? Well, we do too, and we're here to remind you that you're more powerful than you think. God said herbs are here for the service of man. Tap into them and free yourself from drug dependency, disease management, and overwhelming medical costs. Take control and be independently healthy. Call Apothecary Herbs for professional strength formulas to stand in the gap and strengthen your system where you need help. Herbs for blood pressure, cholesterol, diabetes, osteoporosis, and more. Call toll-free 866-229-3663. Online, thepowerherbs.com. Check out their vitamin vault where you can stock up and save on case discounts. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
With our current economy, there's no time to lose. Apothecary Herbs has their own version of the stimulus package. It includes sending you highly potent and certified organic herbal products at a 15% discount. Here's how it works. Mail in your order using our catalog order form, online downloadable order form, or if shopping on our website at thepowerherbs.com, print off the contents of your shopping cart, subtract 15%, add your shipping fee, and mail it in with your payment. Get well and save money. What could be better than that? Order by mail now and save 15%. Call Apothecary Herbs for a free product catalog toll-free, 866-229-3663, international 704-875-8010, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Gets big and bright, it's supernatural.
Talk Live. I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and we're talking about heartburn, how we can deal with that on a more natural level. Let's look at some of the contributing factors which would make you at a higher risk of having heartburn. Being overweight is going to put pressure, a lot of pressure on the stomach, which hinders the digestive process and invites heartburn. Approximately 35% of the overweight individuals will experience heartburn but are able to reverse the condition by decreasing their weight. Also, smoking seems to aggravate the condition, and it stimulates the production of stomach acid and also relax that esophageal sphincter, allows more acid reflux action, so smoking. Also, consuming alcohol will prime the pump for heartburn and acid reflux. Increased stress alters the behavior in what you eat and drink, and often and we smoke more and drink more, which also triggers heartburn, so stress. Let's look at some of the main cause, which is really the eating habits. There is good news, though, because the main cause of heartburn is directly influenced by what you're pretty much eating. Therefore, you have a whole lot of control over heartburn, and you get to decide every day if you want to invite or avoid heartburn. Dr. Donald Kestel of the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine agrees that your dietary patterns are to either praise or blame when it comes to heartburn. As we age, we may experience heartburn more frequently, but according to Dr. Kestel, age is not the cause of heartburn. If you develop heartburn or acid reflux in your 20s, 30s, or 40s, and you don't make any lifestyle changes, you will have an almost impossible time getting rid of heartburn later on, so don't delay in addressing that. Let's talk about the alcohol factor for just a second. You will want to avoid food and drink that relaxes that esophageal sphincter muscle I talked about, because certain foods and foods can make it lazy. If you drink alcohol within 2 hours before going to bed, you are more likely to experience heartburn. The alcohol relaxes the sphincter muscle and allows acids back into the esophagus. The researchers at the University of Dundee tested 17 men and women who did not have heartburn or acid reflux problems. The volunteers were given 4 ounces of whiskey, 40% alcohol, to drink with 4 ounces of water 3 hours after eating at 10 p.m. and then went to bed by 12 p.m. Another group was given a placebo drink consisting of water and flavoring, but no alcohol. During the night, the acid levels in the esophagus were monitored. In the study, 41% experienced reflux during the night. They found the acid was most severe 3.5 hours after consuming the alcohol product. The group drinking the flavored water didn't experience any acid reflux or heartburn. Then there's chocolate. You know, I love chocolate. Don't you love chocolate? But chocolate has its problem. That harmless little piece of chocolate can trigger heartburn. Yes, it can. There is this chemical mechanism that encourages heartburn, according to Dr. Kestel. There are many foods which act this way and participate or encourage heartburn. How many times have you, like, had digestive discomfort after you ate several chocolate chip cookies or a fudge brownie, for instance? Do you remember that? How come chocolate does that? Dr. Kestel says chocolate acts like an antispasmodic or a tranquilizer on your sphincter muscle. So the culprit chemical in chocolate is methoxyethine. And Dr. Kestel tested his theory and found that by drinking chocolate syrup, it turned the sphincter muscle into a flabby, lethargic piece of tissue for nearly an hour. So Dr. Kestel also found chocolate and acid residue in the esophagus of his test group. So apparently chocolate does not provoke acid backwash in individuals that do not or rarely experience heartburn. And therefore chocolate is a problem really for those that are already suffering from a moderate to severe heartburn issue. So chocolate is pretty safe for the rest of you folks. Then there's the high fat. Research supports that those that are already heartburn sufferers will have bouts of heartburn with the high-fat meals. So the meals with high fat will extend the acid backwash into the esophagus by 3 to 4 hours after the meal. Researchers report that high-fat foods lower sphincter muscle pressure, and also delays digestion, and the stomach does not empty as quickly. More acid is allowed to accumulate in the stomach and then enter into the esophagus. So avoid those fried foods, the milkshakes, the cheese, the hamburgers, and other fatty foods. What about spicy food? Well, most people with heartburn blame spicy food for their discomfort. However, a team of researchers at Oklahoma Foundation for Digestive Research at Presbyterian Hospital found that the real reason for the heartburn wasn't the spice. They determined that onions, which are usually included in spicy entrees, were the cause of those that are already suffering from heartburn. So Dr. Mark Mello suspects that onion, like chocolate, tends to relax that sphincter muscle a little bit. So you may want to avoid the onion. What other foods? Well, there are some other foods known to relax that sphincter muscle, encouraging the heartburn and reflux. Peppermint, spearmint, and foods that produce belching, like your cabbage and your cucumbers. So foods which produce more acid will also contribute to the problem, like your coffee, soda, beer, tomato, and milk products. I know, you probably thought milk was, you know, going to put out the fire. It does initially, but then it comes back with a vengeance, so milk's not the way to go. What are some other things? Well, the way that we eat, such as overeating, which can stretch the sphincter muscle, making it loose, eating too fast, also overloads the digestive system. Lying down too soon after eating will also push foods up against the sphincter muscle, causing it to pop open, and then the acid and food gets into the esophagus. Overweight individuals would put more weight and pressure on the abdomen and sphincter muscle, encouraging heartburn and reflux. So how you eat, when you eat, what you eat, and if you're overweight, all going to be a factor. Well, are there any herbs that can help? Well, certainly, you can utilize some of these herbs to improve digestion while modifying that lifestyle. See, the lifestyle is going to be the permanent thing that's going to help you. Fennel seed will help improve digestion. It eliminates gas and bloating. Ginger root also improves digestion, helps to move food out of the stomach faster, and helps with any nausea and vomiting. Slippery elm, inner bark, and marshmallow root will help soothe the lining of the esophagus and stomach. And if you plan to do bowel cleansing, use a modified cleanse using only the detoxer plus more water and prune juice. So avoid the herbs that stimulate nerve endings of the bowel, because those are going to be your hot, spicy herbs. They may bother you, although they may not. So just FYI. You can also use herbs to stop smoking and lose weight. You're going to find fennel, ginger root, slippery elm, marshmallow root, tinctures, all apothecary herbs. They also have a formula called Smoker's Helper, and more nutrition in the Body Foundation food mix so that you can eat lighter, not feel hungry, and lose some of that weight. So check out their Bowel Cleanse Formula B, their digestive aids, a lot of immune-boosting formulas there to strengthen your whole system. Check it out. ThePowerHerbs.com is the website. Of course, you can request a free product catalog on their toll-free line at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. So there you go. All right, we're going to talk about some secrets and history of the early drugs. That's right, because in 1995, William Rothstein, he wrote a 412-page paper on the American history of the pharmaceuticals, and he included the political side of the issue. Now, why was such a paper written? Well, Americans fear that drug companies sacrifice the quality and their quality and safety for the products for profit, basically, which also ushers in, you know, our current FDA regulations. So the earliest drugs that we know of that were used as medicinals were roots, barks, leaves, berries, because of their therapeutic value. And for hundreds of years, the most widely used drug was alcohol in the form of wine or liquor and mixed with herbs, an early form of a tincture, basically. So our early American settlers, they relied on the herbs they bought with them from European apothecary shops. They grew herb gardens in the New America, and they obtained some new variety of herbs from the Native American Indians. Inorganic drugs from Europe were imported, but they were too expensive. So Rothstein wrote that many of the early therapeutics made from herbs or a mixture of herbs and inorganic drugs were for the large part ineffective, he thought. So was it the herb that was ineffective, though, or was it because of the inorganic drug and how it was processed? So we're going to find out what happened there. Well, America has always had this problem. We have had and still have this battle over homemade versus commercial preparations. Homemade preparations were made from bitter barks, roots, leaves, and berries. They were powdered and dissolved in water and alcohol. The number one complaint was these preparations were bitter and sometimes nauseating, you know, taste. And the commercial preparations claimed to be superior to the homemade, and these companies did not have to divulge ingredients, manufacturing processes, or validate their therapeutic claims. Many of the medicines contained alcohol, opium, morphine, cocaine, all as added ingredients. And it was not unheard of to have an opium-laced soothing syrup, which were given to babies that were teething. Can you imagine? No shock here to learn that the companies making the commercial preparations were the 19th century's biggest advertisers, often claiming cures for diseases that had no cure at all at the time. Well, let's look at 1857, some of the therapeutics they had. A couple of friends of mine actually sent me a copy of a very interesting and old publication called the Montria Medicia of Therapeutics, written by Dr. Jonathan Pereira in 1857 in London. It was well over 800 pages. I kind of skimmed over it, and I saw a bunch of herbs listed in it, which I also tend to use today. And I found some very interesting notes. One of the herbs that he mentions is valerian. It was one of my favorites. I would use valerian root for some mild to moderate anxiety or even depression or panic attack type symptoms. Now, in 1857, they were discovering valerian root. They used cats and guinea pigs and found valerian root intoxicates cats, makes them drunk, which it tends to do on animals. And on the other flip side, in some of the animals, it made them become super hyper and playful. So they were correct in ascertaining valerian was a nervine herb. Okay? They described it as exciting the cerebrospinal system, producing giddiness if it taken in large doses. Now, back then, they used it for twitching and epilepsy due to valerian's antispasmodic effect. They also discovered valerian is magnified when it is consumed with alcohol. In the 1800s, some physicians didn't think valerian was good for much, so they prescribed it to hypochondriacs and patients that were prone to hysteria. Now, I noticed that many of the preparations were in a powdered form or as a tea, which in most cases wouldn't be very potent. So they moved to the tinctures, the other liquids, and they realized the power in a tincture. They sometimes mixed the herbs with things like potash and zinc sulfate, which in my opinion subjected the final product to an adulteration. But that's what they were doing in London in the 1800s. The other herb that they listed, another favorite of mine, is lobelia, also called Indian tobacco. Now, Dr. Pereira also noted that early use of lobelia, he states that Native American Indians called it, he called them aborigines in America, okay? He noticed that they used the lobelia plant, and it was popular with the Native American Indians. They would actually smoke it to clear the pulmonary, okay? And then later on, the herb got a little bit of a reputation as being used by quacks, okay? And also the American Quakers used the lobelia. Apparently, all the shops in England sold lobelia, And after Dr. Cutler of Massachusetts and Dr. Reese of England got a hold of the herb and tested it, early on it was known as an emetic. It even was used in large doses, like for a syrup of ipecac. It was kind of used like that. And it still is. If you give large doses, it will work like an emetic. And they noted that lobelia had a bitter taste, and it offered a universal relaxation sensation similar to tobacco. Well, and that's why people will use it to relax, because it just takes a lot of tension out of muscles, and they can just like naturally go into a sleep without feeling medicated or having side effects the next day. So, yes, it does relax the body. They also concluded that lobelia was best used as an antispasmodic for cases like croup, whooping cough, and asthma. They also determined that the effects of this herb offered among patients, it had an unequal effect. What they mean is everybody has a different dose limit of this particular herb. Some people can take only a little bit, and some people can tolerate a lot. So not everyone metabolizes this herb the same way. So you can't really give it in cookie-cutter doses, in other words. I also noted that they were not processing this herb correctly back in the 1800s, so they could grab all 16 alkaloids so that the body could metabolize it more efficiently. So if you're working with lobelia and you want it in a liquid form, a tincture form, you have to actually age it in two catalysts, alcohol and organic vinegar, okay? Down on the list in this big 800-page book was astragalus root. It's another bitter herb that stimulates white blood cells to strengthen the immune system and reverse immune system suppressants. Now, the high magnesium and silicon and zinc in this herb helps wounds to heal fast and repair heart muscle damage. So in 1857, astragalus was in all the English shops, and was called, I think they called it gum dragon for some reason. They primarily actually used the bark of the herb instead of the root. So they were using the gum of the bark as a gum agent, and they would mix it into other medications. So back then, there were two varieties of astragalus on the European market, the English flaky variety and the smooth and slender variety used in France. Personally, just use the root, you know. Arnica was on the list. Dr. Pierre states that the ancients were unaware of arnica because he could not find it listed in any of the ancient texts. So he reported that when taken internally, it caused severe pain and digestive discomfort. Arnica usually grows in the high mountains and in the woodlands of Central Europe and North America, and is mentioned as being used in folk medicine in the 16th century. There are several listings using arnica in Germany and in Russian folk medicine. It is usually applied externally for injuries to soothe wounds and to reduce bruising. The ancients would use this herb as a liniment, and it is still used this way today with excellent and positive effects. Definitely, definitely love arnica. So let's talk about your tincture. So where did the idea to use herbs and alcohol really originate? Well, some think it was borrowed from the concept of coffee brewing. You know, soaking herbs and alcohol started with the dense, fibrous roots and barks of herbs. Tincturing of the leaf, the stem, the seeds of herbs came later. And at first they used a percolator in the tincturing process. And this would sometimes add heat to the process, and so it made an inferior liquid. Regardless of where the idea was really born, herb tinctures are known as the preferred process in herb medicine if they're made properly without heat. And why is that? Well, the herbs soak or age in the alcohol, which gives uniformity and strength to the end product. So all the alkaloids from the plant are in the liquid. And you can make them as potent as you like, and it's very, very easy to adjust dose. So that's why people prefer them. Plus, they're absorbed right away into the system, and they're in the blood system within a minute or two. So they go to work right away rather than having to digest capsules or tablets. So you can make actually some very potent or even weak tinctures yourself at home just following a very general process in tincture making. So if you're interested in actually learning how to do some of that, you can pick up a copy of the Power Herbs book. It's on the powerherbs.com website. It's just $14.99. It's an ebook. It's sent to you via email. And in there, you will learn about 13 herbs every medicine cabinet should have. And these are herbs that won't get you into too much trouble, even if you're using one or two prescriptions or over-the-counter medicines. Also inside the book, you'll learn about the importance and the proper way to do organ cleansing, how to make your own tinctures. There's even a whole section on moms-to-be, herbs to avoid during pregnancy and nursing, and herbs that you can use. And you'll also find an herb symptom reference guide. So you can kind of look up a symptom and see what your herbal options are. So if you're interested in the 400-page The Power Herbs book, it's an ebook. Check it out. It's just $14.99 at thepowerherbs.com. And you, too, can learn how to make an herbal tincture. If you need help with that, you can give the folks at Apothecary Herbs a call. Their toll-free number is 866-229-3663. Of course, thepowerherbs.com is their website, and you can find out a whole lot there. Okay, well, we've got a few minutes, and I've pulled this other topic because I haven't really touched on this in a really long time, and it's really about appendicitis. And nobody wants appendicitis. No, no, no. The main symptoms are abdominal pain, tenderness, and fever. So modern medicine really doesn't always diagnose appendicitis accurately right away. Statistics show that the abdominal pain will occur with many other conditions. So, you know, they can be fooled in the beginning. About 5% of the abdominal cases turn out to be actual appendicitis. So what is appendicitis really? Well, in a nutshell, it's constipation. It is it's often misdiagnosed. And it's a quite serious problem. There are 1 in 5 cases of appendicitis that is misdiagnosed, and therefore it's the third leading cause of malpractice lawsuits. Doctors are quick to remove the appendix because they think it's pretty much a useless blob of tissue hanging off the intestine called the cecum. So the function really, the function of the appendix, what does it serve? Well, it serves as your immune system of a digestive tract. It's an immune system gland is what it is. So you want to keep that thing if you can. So what happens when you get appendicitis? Well, what happens is you've got this constipation issue. You may not think it's a big deal, but what happens is some fecal matter kind of gets stuck, and it plugs the little opening of the appendix gland. And the appendix gland periodically will secrete antibodies into the bowel. And like I said, it's the immune system of the bowel. And so if it can't secrete its solution and it's plugged up, it'll swell up and get inflamed, and you'll get pain and discomfort. And, of course, then you have to go and have an appendicitis. You know, they take it out. Appendectomy, right? They take it out. But then you don't have an immune system for the bowel. So then you're more at risk of inflammatory bowel problems, pathogens, food poisoning, that kind of thing. So you want to keep the bowel functioning smoothly. You want to avoid appendicitis, being constipated. Use your bowel cleansing herbs. Strengthen that bowel muscle and avoid that constipation. And watch what you're eating. Some foods will make you more constipated than others. Keep a food journal, and you can check that out. I'm out of time. But, hey, but don't go anywhere. Messiah's Branch with Pastor Dan Catlin's up next. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, produce and cure disease or any of that, so seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician before you use any product or therapy. That's if you dare. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, be well.